This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Corey Morris. President Bush has now left for a multinational tour, which will include stops in Poland, Russia, France, and then finally the Middle East. His first stop will be Poland, where he'll give the keynote address on the future of transatlantic relationships. And many diplomats on both sides are curious now to see how Mr. Bush will relate to his fellow European leaders following the rift over going to war in Iraq. The story from correspondent Priscilla Huff.
Vive la France. President Bush has managed to find common ground and begin to patch up the relations with France, badly fractured over the Iraq War. The ongoing food and humanitarian crises in Africa is helping to get the U.S. and France working together again, but that's not necessarily true of Germany. At the Group of Eight summit, all eyes will be on how Mr. Bush handles German Chancellor Gerhard Schroeder, whether he gives a warm handshake or the cold shoulder. Then again, U.S. Secretary of State Colin Powell's favorite metaphor for U.S.-European relations is that it's a marriage that's been in counseling for more than 200 years. Priscilla Huff, Washington.
Much like U.S. officials of late, British Prime Minister Tony Blair is now finding he has to defend the work of his intelligence agencies concerning Iraq. A senior British official recently told the BBC the original intelligence on Iraq's weapons of mass destruction was exaggerated to bolster the case for invading that country. Blair, though, says there's nothing to those allegations.
The idea that we authorized or made our intelligence agencies invent some piece of evidence is completely absurd. And what is happening here is that people who have opposed this action throughout are now trying to find a fresh reason for saying why it wasn't the right thing to do.
Of course, military investigators in Iraq have still found no concrete proof of weapons of mass destruction. Palestinian and Israeli leaders are expressing cautious optimism following talks between Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon and Palestinian Prime Minister Mahmoud Abbas. The pair met for about 3 hours yesterday to discuss the so-called roadmap for peace. Sharon pledged to end the two-week-old closure now of the West Bank in another 2 weeks as an act of good faith, while Abbas said he hoped some militant groups would in return end their bombing campaigns.
What's the big news in allergy medicine this season? It's a new name in non-drowsy relief, Allivert. New Allivert starts dissolving the instant it touches your tongue, without water. So you can take Allivert inside, outside, in your car, wherever you are. Allivert is non-drowsy 24-hour relief in a quick-dissolving tablet. New Allivert. Allergy medicine you can take right when you need it, wherever you are. Allivert. Use as directed.
This is Dr. Danny. Paul, you're on the air.
Hey, Dr. Danny.
Hey.
Man, listen, we're having a hard time potty training our son.
Well, that's a common problem. How old is your boy?
He's 26.
Paul, I have some bad news. At this age, potty training will be near impossible.
You kidding me?
No, but Paul, I do have some good news.
All right, man. What?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
It seems most people don't think the third largest tax cut in U.S. history is really what the country needs right now. Nearly two-thirds of Americans who took part in a nationwide poll said extending health care coverage to the nation's 41 million uninsured was more important. That survey, conducted while lawmakers were hammering out the details of a $350 billion tax cut plan, also shows more than a third of Americans are willing to pay more taxes to help pay for a universal health care plan. Researchers at Stony Brook University say the results demonstrate Americans are very concerned about rising medical costs and having health insurance covered.
Honey, what's for dinner?
Hot dogs.
We had hot dogs last night,
mm-hmm.
And for breakfast today,
yeah.
And lunch.
I'm playing the French's Mustard Instant Win game. Every bottle has a giveaway. You can win $50,000 instantly or tons of great stuff from Six Flags.
Well, French's is my favorite mustard.
Now it's even better.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. All claims must be postmarked by 12/31/03. Must be legal U.S. resident 18 years to enter. See specially marked packages of French's Mustard or www.frenchesfoods.com for details. Nothing cuts the mustard like French's.
At least three people have been killed now after a car bomb exploded in northern Spain today. The country's prime minister has called off a planned trip to St. Petersburg also to deal with the situation at home. More from correspondent Suzanne Chisholm.
The blast in the northern Navarre region had all the hallmarks of the Basque separatist group ETA. The attack follows Sunday's nationwide municipal elections, the first since Madrid banned the radical separatist Batasuna party because of its links with ETA. The group is also listed as a terrorist organization by the United States and the European Union. Spanish Prime Minister Jose Maria Aznar had been due to fly to the Russian city of St. Petersburg for its anniversary celebrations. He will now remain in Spain. Suzanne Chislett, London.
Suspected serial killer Derek Todd Lee is being held now in the East Baton Rouge Parish jail without bond after being charged in the death of five women. The 34-year-old Lee is the primary suspect in the Louisiana serial killer investigation. Authorities in parishes across the state are digging into old murder cases to see if Lee may be linked to them. I'm Corey Morris, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
I'm Bobby Liger with today's Car Clinic Minute. You're all dressed up with places to go. You scoot behind the wheel, turn the key, but no go. Now you're just all dressed up. What's to blame? Battery or starter? When I come back, I'll tell you.
Rain-X now has a line of car waxes specially designed to protect your car's finish, not just to make it shiny and look good. Any wax can do that. Rain-X car waxes form a protective polymer seal over your car. The same way Rain-X windshield treatment repels water, Rain-X's new line of car waxes repel rain, road grime, UV rays, even tar. For a tough, protective barrier that does more than just keep your car's finish looking great, check out Rain-X's new line of car wax. Rain-X, protection you can see.
When cars won't start, it's always frustrating. What's the culprit, battery or starter? Here's how to tell. If it's night, turn on your headlights. If they don't come on, of course it's the battery. But if they do, leave them on and try to crank your car. If they dim or go out, the battery's to blame. During daylight, try the same test with your horn. If your lights and horn operate normally when you try to crank your car, guess what? It's the starter. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us. Brought to you by Rain-X Wax, the ultimate shield.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
He's the man who uncovers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome to our program today, broadcasting coast-to-coast radio stations from the depths of outer space on the Sirius satellite, channel 145, and streaming live on the Internet from www.ieamericaradio.com and rebroadcast on radiopower.org, and also you'll find archives of the most recent shows at tomhartman.com. This is Uncommon Sense from the Radical Middle with Tom Hartman. Will a free press ever return to America? Will its remnant survive? Our question for this hour, our quote for this hour, from Thomas Jefferson. This is in 1803. He had been president of the United States for 3 years. And he said, "The greatest evils of populist society have ever appeared to me to spring from the vicious distribution of its members among the occupations called for." He's talking about differences, stratifications within society of great wealth and great poverty, of people having essentially good jobs and bad jobs. And then he says, when by a blind concourse, particular occupations are ruinously overcharged and others left in want of hands, the national authorities can do much toward restoring the equilibrium. I shared with you a quote from James Madison a few weeks ago. We can come back to that next week, where he suggested that it was one of the important duties of a government, if its job was actually to provide for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, to build something that, they didn't have the phrase middle class back then, but something that today we would call the middle class. And to play a role in that, to protect that, to nurture that, because that was an important and essential part of democracy. Is a very important thing. Catching up with some things from the previous week. By the way, if you'd like to be on the program today, our number is 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. The United States has this ongoing battle with the European Union over genetically modified foods. You've probably read about it in the papers. It's being presented in the mass media as if Europe doesn't want to take our GMO products. About 80% of the American food supply is genetically modified now, at least in the grains. Our corn, our wheat, many of these products are genetically modified. And the GMO industries have been successful in banning companies in the United States from listing on their ingredients if a product that it contains genetically modified organisms, GMOs. And the way that this thing is being spun in the American press is that the Bush administration is going after those nasty Europeans who won't allow the import into Europe of U.S. GMO products. The fact of the matter is, however, that U.S. GMO products are being imported into Europe right now and have been for years. What the Europeans want, that the Bush administration is strongly objecting to, is the right to label foods as to whether or not they contain genetically modified organisms. Well, the United States had three allies in its battle with Europe: Argentina, Canada, and Egypt. We four, this alliance of the willing, are trying to convince Europe that they should make it illegal for companies to put on the label of a product whether or not that product contains genetically modified organisms. The reason why is pretty straightforward. 94% of Europeans say they don't want to eat something that has GMO products in it. 70% of Americans say that. But in America, you don't have the right to know, because the Republicans have pushed this legislation through both at the federal level and state by state. And now they're trying to do it to Europe. And today, Egypt pulled out. Egypt said, we are not going to join, this isn't a quote, but in essence, Egypt said, we are not going to join Argentina, Canada, and the United States in trying to force on Europe a ban on labeling GMO products. The Consumers Union, I'm sorry, Friends of the Earth International, in a news release today, said the Egyptian government says it has taken its decision because it recognizes, quote, the need to preserve adequate and effective consumer and environmental protection. So, interesting little thing. We brought this to you before, just an update. John in New York, welcome to the Tom Hartman program, and thanks for calling 1-800-TALK-YES.
Can you hear me?
I can, John.
Okay, very good.
I write the regularly PR in Common Dreams, and they get picked up by all kinds of media around the web, so probably.
Right. This one has to do with alternative media of a liberal nature.
Uh-huh.
Do you know if there is more of a national focus going on with this idea?
Well, if you're talking about
talk,
the last
all
piece...
All radio, I mean, you know.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
All liberal talk radio, I'm saying, as a counterweight to the, the other side.
Okay, I'm not sure I understand your question. And by the way, Brian, who's running our board, I've got a huge echo coming back when I'm talking to John here. Maybe you can fix that. John, what exactly is your question?
Yeah, I'll refresh your memory. It has Move Over Right-Wing Radio, Here Come the Liberals, was the title
right.
of the piece.
Yeah.
And you discussed a little bit about Anshel Media and their activities, as well, of course, as your own network.
Right.
So what I'm calling about is to find out, I know it's not June 5th yet, this decision hasn't been made,
June
but has
2nd,
there been any motion, to your knowledge yet, about forming a nationally syndicated, all-talk, all-liberal radio network?
Well, you're listening to one right here.
Right.
A network in the United States that offers programming that is not only, I mean, it's got a whole spectrum of stuff from what you might call the center and even things that are not politically specific, like, you know, car talk and pet shows and the consumer lawyer show, to programs like this one and programs like Mike Malloy and Peter Werby. As to Anshel Media's plans, I really don't know what they're up to. I know that they're raising money. I think that the biggest thing on the horizon is probably what I quoted in that article, which was one of the vice presidents of Clear Channel at this conference that I was at the weekend before last, saying that they were looking at doing this kind of programming, that they were kind of realizing that right-wing talk radio is not talk radio, is not generic talk radio. The right-wing talk radio is a unique product, just like country western music is not all music.
Right.
It's a unique type of music. And, they've been thinking, and of course the right-wingers have been promulgating this idea for years and arguing it strongly. Right-wing talk radio is talk radio. There's nothing else. Nobody else wants to listen to anything else. Mm-hmm. And Gabe Hobbs, as I recall his name is, the VP for News and Talk of Clear Channel, said that they had recognized that it's just one flavor of talk radio, and that progressive and middle of the road talk radio were also flavors that they were going to experiment with programming. Or
would you be willing to
hazard
an estimate as to what the demographics might be for this type of offering, say 30 million or something like that?
Well, I think all you have to do is look at the surveys that have been done about, you know, the political surveys. You've got more people voted for Al Gore than voted for George Bush, half a million more people in the last election. So I think that probably the hardcore left base is about the same size as the hardcore right base. So whatever the market is for Limbaugh, Hannity et al., there's probably an identical market for people on the what you might call the extreme liberal, hard left end of that. And then in the middle, there's a much larger market than either of those ends, I think.
Well, but, it's interesting. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, I haven't seen any studies in the radio industry. I've just seen the political studies.
Well, yesterday, Nader was on Crossfire.
Mm-hmm. I saw it.
Ralph Nader. They asked him if he would go up against Rush Limbaugh, you know, debate him mm-hmm. one-on-one.
Right.
He said the reason for Limbaugh's popularity is he's a man with a solo trumpet. There's never anybody giving him any opposition.
Right.
So how can you call that, you know, popularity? It was his point, I think.
And this is the problem that one of our callers identified a couple of weeks ago. And John, you raise a good issue, and I thank you for that. Sure. One of the points that one of our callers made was that he used to listen to the radio all the time. He used to listen to talk radio all the time. But when talk radio became extreme right-wing constantly everywhere he was listening, he just stopped listening to the radio. Uh-huh. And what he noticed was, and this is a guy who used to work in the radio industry, and what he noticed was that Arbitron, which is the company that does surveys of who's listening to the radio when and where, that when Arbitron passes out their books, they're looking for people, you know, they're trying to determine who's listening to talk radio. They're only asking people who are listening to radio. And this guy said, I'd listen to radio if there was middle of the road or progressive or liberal or whatever you want to call it programming on.
Yeah.
But he said, I'm not going to listen to it if it's Limbaugh, Hannity, you know, Gordon Liddy, and the right. So I think that's one of the problems. John, thank you.
Okay, sure. Thank you very much.
I appreciate your call. And thanks for your comments. Patrick from Owensboro, Kentucky. Welcome to the program, Patrick. Thanks for calling 1-800-TALK-YES.
Yes, are you there?
I'm here. How are you?
Got cut off there, Matt. Yeah, you know, Rush Limbaugh cuts everyone off and makes it sound like it's live, so that's why he sounds solo all the time. You know?
Yeah, he I can't speak for the Limbaugh program because I've never been inside his organization, but I know that a lot of these talk show hosts, both on the right and the left, carefully filter their calls.
Right,
but
the audience will never know that.
Right.
Unless you go to takebackthemedia.com, check that out, and you can see what he's doing.
Yeah, and the fact is, I would love right-wingers to call this program. I enjoy a good debate.
Well, you know, Ralph Nader taking on Rush Limbaugh is like taking on an ant in the mud. But anyway, I had a question about the June 2nd thing as far as the consolidation of the media thing. I read your article 2-3 weeks ago, and I don't know. I mean, what I fear is what if Clear Channel and what if they offer to buy you guys and offer to play you guys on the air, and then all of a sudden they say, well, we own you guys, and then they drop you all like a bucket.
Well, that's what happened to Jim Hightower.
That's what I fear.
Yeah, and I think that's a legitimate concern, and that's what happened to Jim Hightower. He was syndicated nationally by ABC. ABC was bought up by Disney. Jim Hightower made some comments about Disney and their sweatshop labor practices on the air repeatedly, and he lost his program. And it wasn't because his ratings were down. In fact, one of the unions had tried to buy $250,000 worth of advertising on his show, which would have made it very, very profitable.
Yeah.
And Disney turned it down because they said union advertising is issue advertising.
Yeah.
And these are the kinds of problems that are very real. I hope nobody thought from that article that I was suggesting that Clear Channel getting in this business was the panacea. I don't. I think it's a problem. It's a very real problem. Patrick, thank you for the call. I appreciate it. Stay with us. We'll be right back. This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
What do you get when you cross a ballerina with an insomniac? Someone who'll dance the night away. And that's what they're doing at a dance-a-thon put together by dancers and to raise money for kids' after-school programs. And what do you get when people bring their groups together? Healthier, drug-free communities, especially for kids. So if you're involved with a group, contact your community coalition at helpyourcommunity.org or 877-KIDS-313. Because you get more when you get together. Brought to you by the Office of National Drug Control Policy and the Ad Council.
My name is Kathy, and I met my husband Michael at eHarmony.com.
My name is Gina, and I met my husband Tom through eHarmony.com.
My name's Jennifer, and I met my husband Jack on eHarmony.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Neil Clark Warren, founder of eHarmony.com. These are just a few of the hundreds of eHarmony marriages. Dating services give you a picture and a paragraph. We go a lot deeper. We start with a personality profile that features 29 dimensions of compatibility, crucial to a long-term relationship. And if you go to eHarmony.com right now, we'll give you this $40 profile free. And then we'll find you a soulmate based on compatibility in the most important areas of life. Visit eHarmony.com today. Get your free personality profile.
My name is Becky, and I met my husband, Tom, on eHarmony.com.
A lot of happy guys out there tonight, thanks to eHarmony.com.
As a child, I spent a lot of time at the big
office building
just reading books. My mom insisted I stay in
the highway on-ramp
to finish my education. So she dropped me off the
office building
before going to her second job. She didn't want me working at
vacant lot
like my dad.
When we lose a historic place, we lose a part of who we are. To learn how you can help protect places in your community, visit nationaltrust.org. History is in our hands. A message brought to you by the National Trust for Historic Preservation and the Ad Council.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 47.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday.
Sunday. Yeah!
Animal Celebrity Boxing.
We're going to kick some butt!
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
What a cat!
And that dog on ice, Tanya Harding.
Tanya Harding, she'll fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Boy, come on!
Greetings, everybody. This is Ramsey Pollard, Jr., the host of IE America's Sunday afternoon travel show, Ramblin' with Ramsey, on air 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Almost every Sunday, I travel to some location to offer you the opportunity of not only receiving wonderful printed material about the location, but to win a prize, maybe a couple of nights in a hotel or a resort or T-shirts or fudge. Oh, yes, there's always a lot of fudge. Come on, tune us in on your radio or go to ieamericaradio.com. I'll be there.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Shake it up. Shake it up. Shake it up.
Shaking Up Talk Radio here. This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Welcome to the vast radical middle conspiracy. Take no imitations. If you'd like to be on the program today, our number is 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 825-5937. An interesting quote from the platform of the Texas Republican Party. Quote, this is from their 2002 platform. Quote, our party pledges to do everything within its power to dispel the myth of the separation of church and state. We support the right of individuals and state and local governments to display the Ten Commandments on public property subject to their control. The Republican Party of Texas reaffirms the United States of America is a Christian nation based on the Holy Bible, end quote. Now, speaking as a Christian, I think that's over the top. Will the free press ever return to America? Will its remnant survive? What's going on with the free press in America? By the way, our chat room is alive and well. We got a whole bunch of folks in there carrying on a fascinating conversation about GM products and other things. If you want to reach it, you go to tomhartman.com on the internet and click on the radio show link. And then when you get into the radio show page, you click on the chat room link, which will take you to the International Trade Forum on CompuServe, which has some great chat software. It's a forum that myself and Nigel Peacock have been running for a couple of decades now. And just click on the chat button once you get in the forum, and that'll pop open the chat room window. And you're welcome to join in the conversations, which I read during the breaks. Will the free press ever return to America? Will its remnants survive? Number one, we have a Berlusconi alert for this hour. This from today's New York Times. As you'll recall, Silvio Berlusconi, the Prime Minister of Italy, got to where he is. He started out as basically a small-time crook and small-time entrepreneur. And he got and now he's being charged with crimes that go back to his organization, back to his dealings with organized crime. One of his buddies just got 11 years in prison for doing business with Berlusconi. But the genius thing that Berlusconi did was he started buying up radio and television stations. And then he started buying up networks. And when he owned all of the privately owned networks in Italy, he started creating new ones. So now Berlusconi owns all of the privately owned television networks and most of the radio and television stations and several of the newspapers in Italy. When he reached that point, this was in the last decade, he ran for prime minister. And, surprise, he won! So now he's being charged with these crimes by the courts. Not by his political opponents, but by the courts. Good old-fashioned generic prosecutors, criminal prosecutors. So, what is his response to this? This media baron who controls the media of Italy, one of the coalition of the willing, he says, no, you can't prosecute me. Here, this it's a short story from the New York Times. Parliamentary supporters of Prime Minister Silvio Berlusconi presented legislation to give him legal immunity in his current corruption trial. Legal immunity. The plan would protect officials in the country's top five posts from facing trial while they hold office. The bill is expected to pass despite opposition that it is devised, the criticism of the opposition, that it is devised to enable Mr. Berlusconi to evade justice. Gee, surprise, surprise. Mr. Berlusconi has repeatedly said that the charges which center on his media empire. Now, isn't it amazing that the newspaper, I mean, here's a guy who owns all of the media in Italy for all practical purposes. They don't mention that in these news stories. He says that the charges which center on his media empire are politically motivated. Now, how can this play out in the United States? Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
My cat Boots got stuck way up in a tree. My dad saw how scared I was. He climbed up there and got it down. I feel bad. I know he hurt his back. I saw him call the doctor.
The moment of choice. What will the doctor give you, Tylenol or Advil? Truth is, doctors nationwide choose Advil most for muscle aches, strains, and sprains. Advil can give you longer-lasting relief than Tylenol on tough pain.
Boots is okay. Dad's feeling better. How great is that?
For better relief, advance to Advil.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Thank you. For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Hamilton.
And I'm Laura Miller.
State workers struck a victory at the U.S. Supreme Court yesterday. By a 6-3 margin, the high court ordered state governments must provide employees with time off work, as detailed in the Family and Medical Leave Act. The 1993 law gives workers the right to take up to 12 weeks of unpaid leave from work for family emergencies or for the birth or adoption of a child. And yesterday's decision affirms the right of 5 million state government employees to that time off, regardless of what other state laws apply to the issue of time off work.
As the quarantine of cattle farms in Canada expands to three provinces following the discovery of an animal with mad cow disease, attention has begun to turn to the quality control of Canada's food inspection system. And the picture is not pretty. For example, most Canadian meat inspectors don't work directly for the government. They're hired as contractors, and many often begin field work with as little as 4 weeks of training. The Canadian Food Inspection Agency has abandoned internal audits to verify the quality of what inspections do get done. And turnover among beef inspectors is high. The yearly rate averages between 20% and 30%, and the wages of many inspectors have been frozen since 1993.
They were the heroes of September 11th, but New York City's firefighters are no longer the darlings of City Hall. New York is in its worst budget crisis in decades, and Mayor Michael Bloomberg has been slashing thousands of jobs, and among the cuts are six fire companies which closed their doors over the weekend. While no firefighters have lost their jobs yet, the firehouse closures mean that response time to some emergency calls will increase by a minute or more, something that the Uniformed Firefighters Association says could spell the difference between life and death in a business where seconds count.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Don't sweat the petty stuff and don't pet the sweaty stuff.
How's that for sage advice?
Well, it's better than being called stupid and immoral all morning long, isn't it?
Join me, Nancy Skinner, for a radio evolution.
It's Nancy Skinner's Radio Vox Pop, a program where we discuss our problems and how to solve them in a positive way without having to disown your in-laws, give up your career goals, and generally alienate everybody you know.
That's Nancy Skinner's Radio Vox Pop, weekdays from 10 to noon Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
Tired of the same old conservative blather on talk radio? Want a different slant on politics in the world than what's offered up by right-wing wacko talk show hosts? Then join me, Peter Werby, 2 to 5 p.m. It's my new time. That's Eastern Time. Weekdays for an alternative not often heard on the AM band. If you want to hear a talk show host that opposes Bush's wars, challenges corporate rule, defends the interests of working people, the environment, and a woman's right to choose, then join me, Peter Werby, in my new time slot, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
When you were young and your heart was an open book, you used to say, live and let live.
You know you did.
But if this ever-changing world in which we live in makes you give in a cry.
And welcome back to the Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network. In today's Washington Post, Ted Turner, the guy who founded CNN, weighed in. I've been waiting to hear from this guy about this, because if anybody would understand the consequences of media monopoly, of a Berlusconi-type problem, it's Ted Turner. Ted Turner wrote in the Washington Post today, I oppose these rules, the rules being the FCC consolidation rules that they're going to vote on June 2nd, next week. They will stifle debate, inhibit new ideas, and shut out smaller businesses trying to compete. If these rules had been in place in 1970, Ted Turner says, it would have been virtually impossible for me to start Turner Broadcasting or, 10 years later, to launch CNN. He goes on to say, if a young entrepreneur were trying to get started today under these proposed rules, he or she wouldn't be able to buy a UHF station as I did. They're all bought up. But even if someone did manage to buy a TV station, that wouldn't be enough. To compete, you have to have good programming and good distribution. Both today are owned by conglomerates that keep the best for themselves and leave the worst for you if they sell you anything at all. It's hard to compete when your suppliers are owned by your competitors. says Ted Turner. And he adds, why should the country care? When you lose small businesses, you lose big ideas. He points out that entrepreneurs, the people who are their own bosses, are the independent thinkers. They're the innovators. They're willing to take risks. And he talks about the risks that he took building CNN and says these are risks that a Clear Channel type institution would never take. Rob from Newtown, Pennsylvania has called 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. Welcome to the Tom Hartman program, Rob.
Hey, Tom. How you doing?
I'm great. Oh, it's Rob. This is Rob Call. He's the editor and publisher of opednews.com. I hope you don't mind my outing you, Rob, but it's a great website.
My pleasure. Well, you just talked about what I was going to bring up, and I think that the difference here between Turner and Berlusconi is that Berlusconi is like a fascist, just like Murdoch.
And well, just like Mussolini.
Turner is a real conservative.
Yeah.
And he's, you know, you've got these conservatives, these neocons in conservatives' clothing, and they're not patriotic Americans. They're not good Americans. They're people who are trying to beat up on people who really are doing the right thing in this country. And
well, Rob,
thank God we got him in there saying that now.
Yeah, we went to the Heritage Foundation's website. The Heritage Foundation provides daily talking points to talk show hosts all across the United States. They have two studios in their headquarters in Washington, D.C. that they make available to talk show hosts when they're visiting Washington, D.C. They sponsor industry events. They're very much in the life and in the mainstream of right-wing talk radio. And the Heritage Foundation, and they were founded and originally funded by Joseph Coors with his Castle Rock Foundation, as I recall the name of it, who this was kind of the same bunch that in some ways funded the rise of some of our right-wing talk show hosts, some of the more famous ones. Anyhow, they say in their daily talking points here, the myth of media concentration, why the FCC's media ownership rules are unnecessary. And they say, rather than media monopolies, that is, there's no monopoly out there, consumers face a bewildering and unprecedented amount of choice. Too much choice. Instead, the real danger to Americans is that outdated and unnecessary FCC restrictions will limit improvements in media markets and technologies, limiting the benefits that they can provide. The case for changing the FCC's ownership rules is clear, says the Heritage Foundation. They were written in a different era and don't reflect the diversity and competitiveness of today's media marketplace. And they are likely hurting consumers. By limiting the ability of media outlets to use resources as effectively as possible, the best course would be for the FCC to eliminate the rules entirely.
Here's a stat for you, Tom.
How do you respond to that, Rob?
I'm on the FAIR website. They have an article that where they reviewed think tanks and how they were represented in the media.
Right.
You know, I've been saying, and we've been talking about this for a couple of months, Tom, that the left and progressives needs a counterpart to the right-wing think tanks. I think that these right-wing think tanks are the most effective, powerful weapon that the political right has. They're like cruise missiles, and the Democrats and the progressives and the Greens, they're shooting bows and arrows because they're not developing.
Yeah, I agree, Rob. In fact, today in one of the it was just amazing. I'm going to get to it a little later in the hour, assuming we have the time. There was a story in the New York Times, and they simply quoted somebody from one of the right wing think tanks and nobody else. NPR this morning had on a guy from the American Enterprise Institute and nobody else. And this is the epitome of
right-wing
bias.
This article says that in the year 2001, there were over 25,823 citations for the 25 leading think tanks.
Mm-hmm.
Of those, 84% of them were conservative or centrist, and only 16% were progressive.
Yeah, that's
absolutely
where it's at.
So you want to talk about even coverage or the liberal media, forget it.
Yeah, I agree, Rob. Thank you for the call. I appreciate
your
comments.
Well, one more thing. Michael Powell was on CNN the other night?
Mm-hmm.
You catch him?
No, I didn't.
You don't watch TV much.
Well, I don't watch enough of it, apparently.
And he was treated with such kid gloves, it was a joke.
Oh, of course.
Was, This was like make pretend to television, I swear.
Yeah, they're all sucking up to him right now. I mean, he holds the key to the kingdom. Rob, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Jeff in Denver, welcome to the Tom Hartman program, and thank you for calling 1-800-TALK-YES.
Hi. When a lot of people are who are favor the Powell plan for the FCC rules say that we're bringing a greater, you know, greater resources for the media through this consolidation.
Right. Well, big corporations have big bucks.
If you look at Clear Channel, that is not true. People I know who work for Clear Channel, when Clear Channel took over their radio stations in the next year, usually more than half of the DJs disappeared and other staff.
Yeah, their budgets were slashed because they got to generate profits.
Yes. If you look at the total staffing of the radio stations around the country that, you know, the Clear Channel owns now compared to before they owned them, there are less people. News people are shared among the stations. They have actually had the radio stations have meetings on how not to compete. And so there are less people available for doing the news. There are less people for diverse views and so forth. There are less personal resources with Clear Channel now than there were before Clear Channel.
Yeah, I agree. I pointed this out a couple of days ago, and I at the risk of beating this horse to death here, but I think this is the last day before the decision. It's worth revisiting in this last day, and there are action steps that people can take. I pointed out that there was this huge fire here in Montpelier, Vermont, where we live, in the capital city of Vermont, in downtown. They just consumed one of the oldest and major buildings in the city, a building built in 1887, and it lasted for 7 hours, this fire. And Louise and I were tuning around the radio dial trying to find one of our, I mean, there's a half a dozen or so local stations right here in town, and there's probably another two dozen within the state that we can hear. And this is a small state. And we couldn't find a single station that was doing local reporting on it because none of them have local reporters anymore. A lot of them don't even have a local staff person.
And that is the case with most Clear Channel places in small towns. But even in cities like Denver, there is much less local reporting by stations on Clear that are owned by Clear Channel.
Right.
So we're not going to get more diversity. We're not going to get more resources for this stuff. The corporations will get more profit. That's solely the improvement.
And that's the bottom line, Jeff.
Lives.
Yeah, I agree, Jeff. Thanks for the call. I appreciate you taking the time to call in. This is the bottom line. I mean, that's really what it's all about. And in a vacuum, there's nothing wrong with corporations making profits. I'm all in favor of corporations making profits. I have owned and run corporations for 30 years, and I've always tried to make a profit. God bless them. But there is a limit. When a corporation's desire to make profits collides with the health and welfare of its citizens, of the citizens of the United States, or with the fundamental values of democracy, then we have a problem. And that is when, as Adam Smith pointed out in The Wealth of Nations in 1776, as Thomas Jefferson pointed out in 1803, as James Madison wrote in 1887, that is when, 1787, that is when it is the appropriate role of government to participate in controlling and regulating the marketplace to protect small businesses, citizens, the health and welfare of citizens, and democracy, the values of democracy in a democratic nation. This is absolutely critical stuff. Our question, will a free press ever return to America? Will its remnants survive? I'm very concerned about this. Hopefully, this decision on June 2nd won't be the end of the story. There are many in Congress who are talking about looking back at the Telecommunications Act of 1996 when Bill Clinton and Al Gore gave away all this stuff to our telecom companies. And it's not, by the way, just the public airwaves. It has to do with phone companies. It has to do with cell phone companies. It just goes, you know, right across the board. Right, absolutely right across the board. I had a thing here that had those stats, and it was really quite shocking. An example of Clear Channel's use. Clear Channel even uses its stations to promote its political agenda, according to this Global Exchange's news release. They said that there's going to be protests at Clear Channel stations in New York, Washington, D.C., Los Angeles, San Francisco, Pittsburgh, Portland, and Mount Pleasant, South Carolina coming up. Looks like it's going to be next Monday. Clear Channel still also uses its stations to promote its conservative political agenda. After September 11, the company came to the public's attention when executives circulated a list of blacklisted songs, including John Lennon's Imagine and Cat Stevens' Peace Train. And as Molly Ivins points out, these are the public airwaves. Oh, here we are. The three largest local phone companies. This is all part of the Telecommunications Act of 1996. The three largest local phone companies control 83% of home telephone lines in the United States. The two top long-distance carriers control 67% of that market. The four biggest cellular phone companies have 64% of the wireless market, and the five largest cable companies by programming to 74% of cable subscribers nationwide. This is from Molly Ivins' article, Rotten Old-Fashioned Corruption at the FCC, published today in newspapers nationwide. And what this means is that competition is dying. All these folks who call themselves conservatives say that they're all in favor of competition. And yet, apparently, they never studied economics. Apparently, they haven't looked at the lessons of history. The lessons of history show us clearly what was known to the founders of this country, what was brought back out in 1881 when the Sherman Antitrust Act was passed, and what politicians have understood right up to Reagan when he stops enforcement of the Sherman Antitrust Act with these so-called conservatives coming into office. The American people, our politicians and our economists, have known all this time that competition in its purest form, an absolutely unregulated, unrestricted marketplace, what's called laissez-faire capitalism, capitalism without boundaries, ultimately will always become anti-competitive. It will destroy free enterprise. Free enterprise and capitalism are not the same thing. Free enterprise requires a participation of government to restrain the excesses of monopolistic enterprises. And that is not happening now. In fact, the monopolists have taken over our government to a large extent. Mike in Washington, D.C. has called 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. Welcome to the Tom Hartman program, Mike.
Hey, Tom. How you doing?
I am great, but I'll get better. How about you?
Ultimately depressed, but not much we can do about that.
Well, there is hope, Mike. There is a lot of hope on the horizon, and with this issue and many others, don't let them get you down.
Just remember, hope was the last of the curses to come out of Pandora's box.
Oh, really? Well, it's a curse that I will hang on to.
But you see, that's the whole problem. Hope keeps you trying even when you know it's futile. And that's
but look at all the people in history who kept trying even when they knew it was futile and ultimately won.
Oh, I know.
Like the founders of this country.
I know. But I'm just saying, that's something to remember.
Yeah, I mean, in 1775, everybody said, there's no way that you can have independence. In 1773, Thomas Jefferson wrote a paper on the rights and obligations of American citizens in British America.
Exactly.
People just thought it wasn't possible. Even in 1776, most Americans didn't support the American Revolution when it started.
True.
So, anyway.
But I was wondering if you heard the latest bit of nonsense out of the ejecta of Colin, i.e. Michael Powell.
Mm-hmm. Which bit of nonsense? You mean on NPR this morning?
Yeah, the one about this stupid idea that the people actually own the airwaves.
You think that's stupid?
No, that's what he said.
Oh.
Michael Powell.
Michael Powell said it was a stupid idea that the people own the airwaves?
This ridiculous idea that the people own the airwaves.
See, that's the thing. These conservatives don't understand the basic concepts of governance, of democracy, that in a democracy, in a democratic republic, if you want to use their language, In a democratic republic, there are things that we all own in common. And one of those things that we all own in common, in addition to the air and theoretically the water, although they're privatizing that like crazy, we're going to talk about that next week, the health of our food supply, our health care services, in my opinion, and in the opinion of every nation in the world, every industrialized nation except the United States, and the skies and the transportation system. In addition to all of these other commons, the airwaves is one of the commons, and the job of government is to hold the commons on behalf of we who own the government. The government is us. It represents us. Mike, I appreciate your call. Thanks very much for calling in. Stick around. We'll return soon. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program, where we still honor we the people instead of they the transnational corporations. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
Announcing the Take Back America Conference, a progressive policy and action summit, June 4th, 5th, and 6th in Washington, D.C. On June 4th, 5th, and 6th, over 1,000 progressive leaders and activists from across the country will gather in the nation's capital to mobilize Take Back America and proclaim a new era of progressivism. This will be the largest and most diverse gathering of prominent progressive leaders in many years, and its impact will be dramatic. This is an unprecedented effort at a critical time in our nation's history. It is essential that the progressive majority develop a strategy that will confront the real issues America is facing with initiatives that can and will make a difference. For details and to register, visit www.ourfuture.org or call 800-833-1354. That's 800-833-1354.
You're strapped into 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines!
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25!
Oh man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
Do you want to own a computer but have less than perfect credit? Bad credit? No credit? No problem. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved. Guaranteed. You heard right. You're approved for a brand new name brand computer. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now. If you can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, you're already approved. Guaranteed. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now and tell us where you want your brand new name brand computer delivered. If you can afford $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, your brand new state-of-the-art PC will be on its way. Guaranteed. Bad credit, no problem. Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved for the computer of your dreams. Guaranteed. Call right now, 1-800-823-0157.
Another audio clip from the production meeting.
Doug Steffen.
What production meeting?
The drive. You know how many radio stations we're on? We must be doing something right, guys.
Imagine if we really tried.
Doug. Yeah, yeah.
If we don't care, and it shows.
Doug Steffen's Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
You know, Jamie, if people don't listen to animal talk, things with their animals won't go well.
Oh, they won't.
No, absolutely not. You see, because a dog will poop in the corner, and then a cat will end up peeing on a pillow. Then you'll have somebody who has an iguana that turns a little red. We don't want red iguanas. We don't want poopy in the corner. We don't want cat pee. If you don't listen to animal talk, you'll have crap everywhere.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Yeah.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES. From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werby and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to IEAmericaRadio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome back to Talk Radio for the rest of us here with the Tom Hartman Program, where democracy is still alive and well. In our chat room, hey, Rob, if you're still listening, you might want to check out our chat room. Somebody just posted a message. Does anyone know how to start a think tank? I think you'd find some kindred souls in there. To get to the chat room, you go to tomhartman.com, click on the radio show link, and then on the radio show link, click on the chat room link, and that takes you to the International Trade Forum in CompuServe, where you push the button that says chat. One of our members there says, Tom, the problem that has occurred with corporations and businesses in general nowadays is that profit is the main or even sole driving force behind their actions. Few people are brave enough to approach business with the primary motivation based on the love of what they do or how it benefits society. Exactly. That's the problem. Corporations have a single value, which is profit. Now, in and of itself, with a small business in a local area where that everybody understands, that's no problem. But when you have an organization that has, or an institution, or a component of a complex system that has a single value of growth, and it starts taking over all the other parts of the system to the detriment of them, polluting the air and the water. In a biological system, that's called cancer, when you have an individual part of a body that has a single value of growth. Mike in Santa Fe, thanks for calling 1-800-TALK-YES. What are your thoughts on this, Mike?
Mike or Mac?
Oh, is it Mac? Okay. Welcome, Mac.
Oh, keep on doing what you're doing, please.
Well, thank you. I will.
The thing here, the thing that bothers me, Tom, is that we all are aware of the problems that we're faced with, but I hear little or nothing of a drumbeat on if you don't get out and vote, you get what you don't want.
Yep. Absolutely. People need to register. They need to vote. They need to get politically active. They need. If you go to the AFLCIO.com or .org, I'm not sure what their homepage is. Let's see. UnionVoice.org, actually. There's a thing on there, the e-activist network, where you can send an email to your legislators about, for example, this media thing that's going on. I mean, there's a lot of folks out there that are taking action.
Well, all I plead for, and I mean plead, is for our talk show hosts who are aggressive and who have a real eye for what needs to be pursued. If we could only get a united front and get out there and vote.
I agree. Mac, thank you very much. That music means that we've come to the end of this segment. Thank you for the call. I appreciate it very much, Mac. Get out and vote. Absolutely. Stick around. We'll return in just a few minutes. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network.
But it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder, from the sirens night and day, from the fires.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
Peter Peter Werbe Show is now airing at a new time. Hi, it's Julene Jordan. The IE America Radio Network has added many exciting new shows to the lineup, and in doing so, the Peter Werbe Show has a new time slot. It's weekdays, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we share with you progressive views about peace and social justice that you won't find in the corporate and conservative media. Join us 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern on the IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to www.ieamericaradio.com. From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werbe and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to ieamericaradio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Corey Morris. President Bush is now off on an overseas journey scheduled to include an historic meeting in the Middle East. The White House says that meeting between Mr. Bush and Palestinian and Israeli leaders will take place, quote, conditions permitting. The president's itinerary also includes his first post-war visit to France for a meeting with President Jacques Chirac. In an interview with a French newspaper earlier, President Bush said he hopes the upcoming G8 summit in Evian would restore relations between Washington and Paris. British Prime Minister Tony Blair has labeled as, quote, completely absurd reports in Iraqi weapons dossier compiled by his government was rewritten to make it sexier. He's speaking in Poland, where he's making a speech on the European Union following a two-day trip to the Persian Gulf region. Correspondent Suzanne Chislett has the story.
The allegation was made by a senior British intelligence official and included a claim that a warning Saddam Hussein could activate chemical and biological weapons in just 45 minutes was believed by intelligence services to be inaccurate and originally left out of the Iraq weapons dossier. It comes in a week where U.S. Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld appeared to suggest he believed Iraq's weapons may have been destroyed before the war in Iraq. But Tony Blair insists they will be found.
After we've investigated all the sites, after we've interviewed all the experts and scientists, and this will take place, as I say, over the coming weeks and months.
The British Prime Minister says he has absolutely no doubt about the truth of the evidence about Iraqi weapons of mass destruction. Suzanne Chislett, London.
And Palestinian and Israeli leaders are both expressing cautious optimism following talks last night between Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon and Palestinian Prime Minister Mahmoud Abbas. The pair met for about 3 hours yesterday to go over the latest so-called roadmap for peace. Sharon pledged to end the now two-week-old closure of the West Bank in another 2 weeks as an act of good faith, while Abbas said he hopes some militant groups would then end their bombing campaigns. The meetings come as U.S. intelligence warns of credible reports of plots in the region to kidnap American citizens there.
What's the big news in allergy medicine this season? It's a new name in non-drowsy relief, Allivert. New Allivert starts dissolving the instant it touches your tongue, without water. So you can take Allivert inside, outside, in your car, wherever you are. Allivert is non-drowsy 24-hour relief in a quick-dissolving tablet. New Allivert. Allergy medicine you can take right when you need it, wherever you are. Allivert. Use as directed.
This is Dr. Danny. Paul, you're on the air.
Hey, Dr. Danny.
Hey.
Man, listen. We're having a hard time potty training our son.
Well, that's a common problem. How old is your boy?
He's 26.
Paul, I have some bad news. At this age, potty training will be near impossible.
You kidding me?
No, but Paul, I do have some good news.
All right, man. What?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Consumer spending fell slightly last month, and personal income was actually unchanged for April, marking the first time since July 2002 incomes did not post a monthly gain. The report from the Commerce Department today renews concerns consumer spending may now be waning. Microsoft has now agreed to pay $750 million to AOL Time Warner to settle an antitrust lawsuit. As a result of that deal, AOL will have the option to use Microsoft's digital media software and Internet Explorer browser for the next 7 years without having to pay royalties.
You've supported her through every accomplishment in her life.
Cross, Paul, I tied my shoes.
While your ultimate goal is to teach her to stand on her own.
Let go, I can do it.
There are things she just can't do without your support.
There were drugs and alcohol at the party.
Talk with the teens in your life. And if they're in substance abuse treatment and recovery, support them. Help them turn the hardest thing they've ever done into their greatest accomplishment. For information and treatment referral, call 1-800-662-HELP.
Time furnished by the Office of National Drug Control Policy.
The UN's expected to approve a resolution today deploying an international force in northeast Congo. An upsurge in violence and atrocities in the war-torn country has now killed more than 400 people. Fighting began in the town of Bunia and spread to the surrounding region after Uganda withdrew over 6,000 troops as part of a UN-brokered peace accord. Steve Mort reports from the United Nations.
French ambassador to the UN, Jean-Marc de la Sablière, said he expected the Security Council to approve the resolution Friday, which would put the first international forces in Bunia next week.
We have been asked to lead a multinational force in Ituri, and France has accepted to lead such a force.
The force is expected to have about 1,000 troops from Europe, as well as South Africa, Pakistan, and Nigeria. There have been widespread reports of massacres, cannibalism, and other atrocities since the withdrawal of Ugandan forces sparked a battle between local tribes for control of the area. Steve Mort at the United Nations, New York.
And I'm Corey Morris, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
I'm Bobby Ligas with today's Car Clinic Minute. A picture's worth a thousand words, so picture this. A toilet bowl. You know what car part is similar to that household favorite? Battery? Gas tank? No, those won't float. But when I come back, I'll tell you what does.
Doug is frugal.
Well, money doesn't grow on trees, you know.
The problem is Doug is about to buy a used car.
Yep, and I'm going to get ripped off!
And Doug doesn't know about Carfax, which lets you check a used car's history to see if it's been in an accident, has accurate mileage, stuff like that. So you know your money's well spent.
So I might save thousands?
Exactly, Doug. Just go to CARFAX.com or ask your dealer for a Carfax vehicle history report.
Hey, how about we go halfsies on the car?
How about nunsies?
How about somesies?
No. Carfax, the truth about used cars.
What's the automotive equivalent of your toilet bowl? Your carburetor. Both have little floats that control levels of liquid. Ever lifted the top of a toilet tank and bent the rod to stop water from flowing? Carburetors have similar float valves that adjust fuel level. In toilets, the excess water streams harmlessly to the sewer. But in carburetors, surplus fuel flows into the motor, causing engine damage, decreased gas mileage, and air pollution. All good reasons to include carburetor checks in your annual inspections. I'm Bobby Likas. Like us, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
Welcome to our program, Talk Radio for the Rest of Us. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, broadcasting coast to coast from the Arctic Circle to the equator on the Sirius satellite, coast to coast on terrestrial radio stations and across the world on the Internet from IEAmericaRadio.com and RadioPower.org. Chat for Peace in our chat room, somebody whose handle is Chat for Peace, made an interesting point a few minutes ago. He said, I think a key approach to changing people's complacency and views is to convince them via books and other sources that, like the old Soviet Union, their corporate mainstream media cannot be trusted to inform them in matters of substance. This reminds me of the lawsuit that was brought by Jane Aker and Steve Wilson against a Fox television station in Florida that fired them because they refused to change a news story to conform to the corporate line. They had done a story about the dangers of bovine growth hormone and its appearance in the milk supply in Florida. And Monsanto had protested, and Fox came in and said, no, you can't talk about that on the air. You've got to change the story to tell everybody there's no problem. And they refused to change the story. They had all their documentation. They got fired. They sued Fox for unlawful termination. A jury of their peers, a jury of six, unanimously found that that refusing to tell lies on the air was not justification for firing somebody. Fox appealed this to a three-judge federal court, where several of those judges were Republican appointees, and that court said, no, sorry, there is no obligation. Now, I'm paraphrasing. The exact language is legalese, but essentially what it said was there is no obligation for news organizations to tell the truth. There's no law that requires them to, and if they want to force their reporters to lie on the air and fire them if they refuse to, tough. That's life in capitalist, corporatist America. I'm not anti-capitalist, I'm not anti-free enterprise, but I am concerned with corporatism. So much for, quote, fair and balanced real journalism, end quote. Anyhow, good point there, Chat for Peace. Thank you for bringing that up. My producer here, Louise, made a note of it, and we will dig into this in a future show. Looking at some of our correspondence here, I got an email from Henry Willis, the guy who was our guest on the program yesterday, who had written a book about global warming. And Henry, in his book, had made some points, and I confess I had read those parts that were of most interest to me, which was the latter part of the book, which had to do with this thermohaline circulation, which is this great flow of water in the Atlantic that comes from the Pacific that brings heat up to Europe and is responsible for Europe, which is at the same latitude as Alaska, having a climate more like the United States. And this circulation, this current, if it shuts down, will plunge the Northern Hemisphere into an ice age. And it has before, repeatedly. And we never really got to talking about that because we got off on this tangent about his saying that there's no such thing as greenhouse gases. So anyhow, he sends me this email saying, the principle of parsimony, which, by the way, is not, you know, considered one of the great laws of science. But anyway, the principle of parsimony states that when presented with several possible solutions, the solution that is the least complex is the accepted solution until proven otherwise. Actually, Henry, this is called Occam's razor. But and he goes on to say, this is the reason I selected solar variation as the cause for global warming. It's the least complex of all presently known possibilities. It reminds me, this kind of logic reminds me of van Leeuwenhoek. Those of you who studied biology probably remember him back in, as I recall, the 1700s. Van Leeuwenhoek came up with the theory of spontaneous generation, which was taught for years and years. Scientists believed in this, that if you took a box and you filled it with straw and you put it in a corner, mice would appear. That things spontaneously appear in response to the availability of environment. And, of course, now we would say, well, no, mice don't appear. I mean, you know, literally appear out of nothing was van Leeuwenhoek's theory. Well, it was the simplest explanation. Sometimes the reality is that things are complicated. The atmosphere is a complicated thing. And in that line, we have this article by Jennifer Lee in yesterday's New York Times, where she says, Exxon now gives more than one, this is from an article called Exxon Backs Groups That Question Global Warming. Exxon now gives more than $1 million a year to organizations which include the Competitive Enterprise Institute, Frontiers of Freedom, the George C. Marshall Institute, the American Council for Capital Formation, the Center for Policy Research, and the American Legislative Exchange Council, these think tanks, and that are denying, many of them, that global warming exists. She goes on to say, Frontiers of Freedom, which has about a $700,000 annual budget, received $230,000 from Exxon in 2002. She goes on to point out that Exxon's public role in the Global Climate Coalition, an industry group formed in 1989 to challenge the science around global warming. That group eventually disbanded when the oil and auto company started to withdraw, as they were kind of outed on this. So they've moved on to other things. Exxon shifted money toward independent policy groups, she says. Exxon's publicly disclosed documents reveal that donations to many of these organizations increased by more than 50% from 2000 to 2002. And money to the American Legislative Exchange Council, the conservative group that works with state legislators, has almost tripled. She goes on, among the initiatives that Exxon's money has helped is the Center for Science and Public Policy, a very official-sounding organization. The two-month-old center, she says, is a one-man operation that brings scientists to Capitol Hill on two issues, global warming and the health effects of mercury. I think you can safely say this is a group that is working in the interests of Exxon and other purveyors of fossil fuels, which emit mercury as part of their waste and produce global warming. The head of the center, this one-man operation, the Center for Science and Public Policy, says, "We don't lobby, we educate. We try to be non-political, non-partisan, and non-ideological." Although he did spend 24 years working as a Republican congressional staff member before founding his one-man institution, which is funded by Exxon. So it's interesting. We need to know where our information's coming from these days, and very often the corporate media doesn't tell us. Got an email from Chris. He says, "I just discovered the show, and I love it. I teach political science at Miami University in Oxford, Ohio. At the outset of my introductory course, I place on the board, quote, 'America is a republic and not a democracy,' end quote, and then ask my students to assess the validity of the statement, which is really something that libertarians seem to love shouting on any political bulletin board, talk show, or talk show whenever possible. As I tell my students, the vertical relations that encompass the republican notion of government, that is, the right to a representative government, is a narrow and silly way to define American democracy. I then take them through the more powerful horizontal relationships between citizens, which form the basis of de Tocqueville's America and which forms the basis of that fantastic book, Civic Innovation in America. It is that story, the story of the interrelationship between citizens, that needs to be told. When citizens engage citizens, their elected representatives are forced to listen." And then Chris says, "Keep up the great work." Thank you, Chris. I will do my best. Keep up your great work sharing this with our next generation. Yes, we are a republic of laws, and yes, we are a democracy. Even though Newt Gingrich didn't like people saying that we are a democracy because it sounded too much like Democrats, and so he started this campaign to say, no, we are a republic, which sounds more like Republicans. They can't diminish the fact that we are a democracy in a republic. "Since regarding your article about the conservative movement," Richard writes, Richard in Durham, "about the conservative movement to drown democracy in a bathtub, I've become more active in Patriot 2. This is the draft that was leaked to the public on January 9th, not by a government agency. This was an illegal leak that made this thing out, that got this thing out. John Ashcroft, Tom Ridge, and Dick Cheney had already been briefed on this and signed off on it, apparently. She says, "Under Patriot 2, we're just going to go through some of the provisions of this. Federal agents would not need a subpoena or obtain a court order to access our consumer credit records. This provision would open the wedge for the total information awareness, which has now been renamed terrorist information awareness, to be implemented through a huge database. Our credit reports are repositories of a great deal of sensitive information, from our employment history to where we shop, borrow, and transact business." Now, in order to get this, these organizations would not have to certify that you were suspected of terrorism, or any other crime for that matter. And you would never be notified that your information had been accessed. Now, today, if a corporation goes into one of these credit reporting services and says, "We want the information on so-and-so," a note gets put in your credit report saying that somebody has looked at your credit report and telling you who. But under this proposal, if the government does this, you'll never know. This is just the tip of the iceberg. It gets worse. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Attention all plaintiffs. If personal injury, medical malpractice, accident, or other disaster has left you helpless and desperate, call now 800-586-5493 and receive up to $50,000 instant cash assistance. Express lawsuit funding provides no risk, no payments needed cash to people with pending lawsuits. The money is yours until your case settles. You pay nothing. We only collect when your lawsuit settles. Call us now. 800-586-5493. Your lawsuit has merit, and the cash is yours to do with whatever you need. Take care of living expenses, credit cards, car payments. No payments needed until your case settles. No employment requirements. No credit checks. Call now. 800-586-5493. Your cash is waiting for your call. Express Lawsuit Funding is waiting to help you. Call 800-586-5493.
Do you want to own a computer but have less than perfect credit, bad credit? No problem. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved, guaranteed. You heard right. You're approved for a brand new name brand computer. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now. If you can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, you're already approved, guaranteed. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now and tell us where you want your brand new name brand computer delivered. If you can afford $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, your brand new state-of-the-art PC will be on its way, guaranteed. Bad credit, no problem. Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved for the computer of your dreams, guaranteed. Call right now, 1-800-823-0157.
Remember when George W. was campaigning and claiming, "I'm a uniter, not a divider"? Well, I have to give credit where credit is due. In one stroke, Bush has managed to do the impossible: unite the American Conservative Union with the American Civil Liberties Union, as well as bringing other staunchly conservative groups together with avowedly liberal ones. Let's hear it for the great uniter. Unfortunately for George, what has united these disparate forces is their opposition to an absolutely atrocious piece of legislation that his administration had hoped to sneak by us. It's called Patriot Act II, a nasty follow-up to the liberty-busting, democracy-stifling USA Patriot Act, which John Mad Dog Ashcroft rammed through a panicked Congress just days after the horrendous September 11th terrorist attacks. Patriot II would give us Ashcroft on Viagra. Ugly. Among other uglies, this act would increase federal power to make secret arrests of U.S. citizens, let the government search your telephone, bank, and credit records without court supervision, and, for the first time, authorize the Attorney General to strip any American of their citizenship. All that the government has to do is to declare, by executive whim, that a case involves suspicions of terrorism, and bammo, there go your most basic rights. Patriot II is so ugly that the Bushites even lied to Congress that it exists. Trying to cover his ample butt, Ashcroft still asserts that it's not really a legislative proposal, but merely some ideas bouncing around his Justice Department. However, an internal document titled Domestic Security Enhancement Act of 2003 has surfaced, and it looks, reads, and smells exactly like a legislative proposal. This is Jim Hightower saying, I'd trust a wolf to guard my last pork chop before I'd trust the Bushites to guard my liberties. To guard against their Patriot Act II, call the American Civil Liberties Union, 212-549-2500.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Though I knew she was sleeping, I'm empty and aching, and I don't know why. Counting the cars, I'm a new Jersey Turnpike. They've all come to look for a man.
From the radical middle, this is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Welcome back to our program. And, Brian, I didn't quite catch what you said. I think that maybe we have a caller on the line. If so, we can bring him on. If not, then I'm hallucinating auditorily here. So it must be the latter, eh? Okay. We were talking about the takeover, Patriot II Act. Not only data, but not only can the government collect your data from the data repositories, but your genetic information can also be collected by the government if this amendment to the Patriot Act is passed. And they can do it They can collect the data. They're now calling it the terrorist information database. Well, what's a terrorist? By the definitions of this new terrorist act, this new Patriot Act 2, a terrorist is anybody who engages in, quote, any action that endangers human life that is a violation of any federal or state law. Well, that sounds reasonable at first, but think about it for a minute. If you get into a bar fight, or if you drive over the speed limit, you are endangering human life and you're violating state law. If you drive without your seatbelt, you are endangering human life and you are violating state law and federal law. Doing these things defines you under Patriot 2. This isn't wild-eyed speculation. This is from hard-nosed lawyers. Defines you under Patriot 2 as a domestic terrorist. Our question for this hour, does the conservative vision of the world include the values of democracy? Once you're designated as a domestic terrorist for not wearing your seatbelt, and you'll recall the year before last, there was a Fourth Amendment case before the Supreme Court. I to this day, I am stunned that this thing didn't get more coverage. It was a one-day story in the press. There was a woman who had been driving her car. She was pulled over by a police officer. She had a headlight out, or a taillight out, as I recall. It was some small traffic infraction. It was not a crime for which a person could go to jail. This was in an area where there had been people posing as police, pulling people over. She wasn't sure if this guy was a cop or not. He followed her for quite some way, and then he pulled her over. She pulled over. She thought that he was being bellicose or belligerent or whatever. She got loud back at him. She didn't commit any crime. She didn't refuse to give him information. But he didn't like her attitude. He took her into the police station, subjected her to a strip search and body cavity examination, and threw her in jail. Several hours later, she was able to call her husband, who came and got her. And the next day, they went out and got her car off the highway. And she sued. She said that he had no right taking her to jail for the crime of driving with a taillight out, because that is not a crime for which a person normally could go to jail. The Supreme Court said, hey, no problem, police. If somebody has been charged with a crime for which there's no jail time, you can still throw people in jail until the trial. And Patriot 2 is going to take it even further. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Peter Werby from the IE America Radio Network, wondering whether you've heard about In These Times magazine. A bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. Find out what you're missing. Visit them online at www.inthesetimes.com or call them toll-free at 1-800-827-0270.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton.
More than 1,000 workers in Canada's beef industry have been thrown out of work so far as slaughterhouses either slow down processing or close completely due to various international bans on Canadian beef imposed following the discovery of mad cow disease in the country. The Canadian government this week rejected a plea from the United Food and Commercial Workers to waive the waiting period on unemployment assistance like it did for those workers who were idle during the SARS scare in Toronto. As of now, Canada's beef industry is losing about $20 million a day, and 16 farms in three provinces are currently under quarantine.
As Oregon state legislature slashes a range of government services in an effort to balance the budget, parents of school children in Eugene are shedding sweat and blood in an effort to save their schools, literally. After lost education revenues prevented a Eugene elementary school from replacing a retiring math teacher, more than 150 parents, teachers, and students showed up at the offices of Aventis Bioservices offering to sell their plasma to raise funds. Only about 15 volunteers qualified, and according to Aventis manager Alf Mobius, while they've raised more than any bake sale could have, they're still a long ways off from the $73,000 in wages and benefits that it costs to hire a teacher for a year.
So far, we're just rounding over $1,000 for those guys. They're becoming regulars here, and we enjoy seeing them here. And can you think of a better cause?
While the campaign has raised the profile of Oregon's education crisis, it's done little to alleviate the problem. Recently, educators throughout Portland agreed to teach for 2 weeks without pay.
Blackouts have begun in Israel as maintenance workers for the state-owned electric utility stop repairs and upgrades to the country's power grid in protest of plans to privatize their jobs. While the Israeli government has threatened to use force to compel workers to make repairs to the grid, it has not done so yet.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and for 2 hours every day, I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls. We'll be talking about the stories behind the stories in the day's news. That's the Tom Hartman Program, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time every Sunday. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com. And join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
The best of the rest of the news, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Mac in Santa Fe reminds us, and thank you so much for that, Mac. If you want to change things, get out and vote. If you're not registered, register. Bringing you Uncommon Sense from the Radical Middle, this is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Our question this hour, does the conservative vision of the world include the values of democracy? If you'd like to be on the program today, call 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. We're going through the provisions of Patriot 2, and I believe John in, was it Long Beach, is on the line? Brian? Maybe we've lost him. Okay.
Hello?
Yeah, no, hello.
Can you hear me?
I can, finally. Hello, John.
Hello, problems there today, huh?
Yeah, well, it's every now and then Murphy is right, you know. But thank you for calling 1-800-TALK-YES, John.
It's the CIA spying on you. I tell you, as much as I despise and detest this Bush crime family and what they are doing, I just about despise and detest also the Democrats that stood aside and let it happen.
Yeah.
If not just let it happen, but some of them even helped it happen.
Yeah, I think that we have to remember the times. When the Patriot Act was presented to Congress, and this was a, as I recall, 600 and some odd page piece of legislation that suddenly was produced in about 2 weeks. So obviously it had been around for quite some time. In fact, there are some who are suggesting it goes back to the mid 90s that it was first written. When this was first proposed to Congress, as soon as Patrick Leahy began objecting to it, my senator here from Vermont, and raising questions about it, he received an anthrax letter in the mail.
Oh, yeah.
And then what's his name? Tom Daschle starts objecting to it, and he gets an anthrax letter in the mail.
He came around, didn't he?
Well, there was panic in Washington, D.C., and I do agree with you that these people in Congress were absolutely nuts to vote on a piece of legislation that they hadn't bothered to read. And interestingly, in today's Republican National Committee talking points, which I'm not sure that we'll have time to get to, we'll see, they are blasting the Democrats for having taken several months to pass the Patriot Act, regardless of the fact that these people didn't even have access to their offices for several months as a result of this whole anthrax thing, which is still being investigated.
Real quick here, I would like to say I will not vote for any Democrat who voted to give this idiot the War Powers Act.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, that's your right, and I absolutely respect that. Just so long as you vote for somebody, I think that's
wonderful. Kucinich right now sounds the best.
Yeah, Kucinich is good. I like Howard Dean. I think that all of the Democratic candidates have something to offer us. And I think that if the Green Party, the Progressive Party, field somebody, that we should look at them too. But I'm trying not to take a position in this yet. But I am watching it and enthusiastic about the possibility of regime change in America. John, thanks for the call. I appreciate your weighing in with your two cents there. Thank you. It may also be, it could also include protest. We're back to the Patriot 2. As I pointed out, the Supreme Court has ruled that if you are arrested for a crime that normally would not carry jail time, like jaywalking, you can go to jail. Now, on top of that, under the new Patriot 2 Act, if you are arrested for a crime like jaywalking that could potentially put someone's life in danger, you your own, then you are immediately or can be immediately labeled a domestic terrorist. Now, they don't have to notify you that you've been labeled a domestic terrorist. In fact, if you try to find out, that can be a crime. Let's dig a little deeper into this thing. If you fail to offer them DNA when they ask for it after you've been tagged as a domestic terrorist for not wearing your seatbelt or jaywalking, if you say, no, I'm not going to give you my DNA, well, they have two choices. One is they can just get your DNA information from your doctor without telling you. The second option is that they can throw you in prison for 1 year and give you a $100,000 fine. In fact, under the new Patriot Act, anybody's DNA can be gathered for any reason, for any crime, no matter how minor. Our question this hour, does the conservative vision of the world include the values of democracy? I think not. So, what about your right to sue? If you've been harmed by a government agency, can you sue them? Well, under Patriot 2, law enforcement agencies engaging in spying operations against the American people are, quote, immune from liability, end quote. Well, what about a situation where somebody in town doesn't like you? They don't, they've got a beef against you. They don't like your politics. They didn't like the fact that you hung a flag out in front of your house or you didn't hang a flag out in front of your house. They didn't like that you had a sign for a candidate out in during an election. They don't like the way you look. They don't like something you said to them in a bar last week. If you run a small business, they don't like your product. Somebody doesn't like you, and maliciously, without any legal basis, without any factual basis, they contact the government and say, this guy is a potential terrorist. You should check him out. Now, let's say that you somehow, now the government, see, under Patriot 2, the government cannot tell you who that was. They will investigate you. But let's say that you found out who it was and you tried to sue them. Let's say it was one business turning in another business as a way of trying to stifle competition. Under Patriot 2, quote, it eliminates civil liability for businesses and employees that report suspected terrorists to the federal government, no matter how malicious or unfounded the tip may be, end quote. Once again, your package courier or cable guy can report you to the feds with impunity. If you'd like to be on the show, the number is 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Chris in Albuquerque, New Mexico is on the phone. Welcome to the Tom Hartman program, Chris.
Well, thank you, Tom. Good show as always. Actually,
thank
it's Abiquiu, way up north. But
oh, Abiquiu. I'm sorry. I thought that was a typo.
No matter. Going back to your earlier question as to how do the right view America, it's always interesting as someone who takes part in right-wing talk radio a great deal as a caller and I guess a liberal foil, when you point out the fact that America, the formation of this country, was an enormous jump to the left politically. The country was founded on a liberal move, seceding from the most powerful...
Separation of church and state, the Reformation, the freedom of thought, the Enlightenment, and economic and political freedom, liberal and social democracy. Liberalism that establishes the civil society is based more on more than democracy, and democracy is based on more than freedom. Democracy of the civil society is based on two co-equal values. This is key. Democracy of the civil society is based on two co-equal values, freedom and justice. Freedom has as its goal justice, and justice must spring from freedom. Freedom and justice are limiting conditions of each other. And then he goes on, and this is kind of the sad part of this. He says, the Democratic Party and liberalism are slowly being tainted as un-American. Liberalism is being defined in the minds of many as being morally sleazy. Democratic candidates in Congress are walking on ideological eggs when trying to express themselves, given the redefinition of the civil society, which is a managed society, as a free market economy, in which the economic elite and corporations have come to control the state, the government, the flow of education and education, the flow of information and education. And thank you to Dr. Mike for that email. Back to Patriot 2. If you send an email, and in that email you say something without saying it, or you encrypt it using encryption technology, but encryption can mean either the technological use of encryption, or it can mean if I say to you, hey, let's get together on Thursday, and that's what I mean, but in the email I use some kind of shorthand. I just say, you still on for our meeting? That could be construed as encryption. If you send an encrypted email, you are guilty of domestic terrorism, which is a federal crime. Under Patriot 2, you'd be looking at 5 to 10 years in jail. In fact, if you engage in any federal crime while online, that is considered domestic terrorism, and that subjects you to 10 years in prison for that and 5 years in prison for conspiring to do that. For instance, now this is from the findlaw.com website, for instance, if a peer-to-peer website's users swaps files, in other words, if you're using Kwanzaa or Morpheus or what's the old one, Napster, this is technically a violation of the Millennium Digital Copyright Act. It is a federal crime to swap files using these services, or any service. If you do this, well, back to quoting from them, if a peer-to-peer website's users swaps files, thus violating the Digital Millennium Copyright Act, and encrypts the files they are swapping, they may automatically face 5 years in prison for that, and could serve 10, an additional 10, for the encryption alone. And this is not limited to terrorism. What about the secrecy and privacy of a grand jury? Current grand jury secrecy rules apply only to jurors, prosecutors, and courtroom staff. But under Patriot 2, it applies to witnesses as well. If you're brought before a grand jury and you speak about something as a witness, you may not even tell your spouse, parents, or children, or you go to prison. What if you've been improperly subpoenaed in the first place? Under Patriot 2, neither individuals nor organizations may move to try to quash a federal grand jury subpoena, end quote. What about state grand juries? Aren't they independent? No. Under Patriot Act 2, the feds can come in and take over state grand jury proceedings. What about my right not to be held without being charged with a crime? Under Patriot 2, quote, detainees may be held incommunicado indefinitely without being charged with a crime, and they need not be publicly identified. This is what they had in Chile. This is what they had in Argentina. I was down in Argentina a couple of months ago talking to some folks, and they were talking about how people would simply disappear. They would just vanish. This is what Patriot 2 will bring to the United States of America. And if you somehow find out about the identity or whereabouts of somebody who has been detained under Patriot 2, and you reveal it, even if you are the parent, child, or spouse of the person detained, and even if you reveal it to one of your own relatives, you can go to prison. Can you sue under the Freedom of Information Act? No. It suspends it. And why, they say? To protect your privacy. Ashcroft actually cited detainees' privacy as a reason not to release their names to the press, the public, or even their families. This would extend that. This is Patriot 2. We're examining it here on the Tom Hartman program today. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Mom, see you later.
Jason? Who else is going to the concert with you?
Anna and Kyle.
So you'll be home?
At 11.
Good. Make sure to call me if anything comes up, okay?
You know I never forget.
I know you don't. Now, about that music.
Yeah, isn't it awesome?
Well,
let your kids be who they are, but know what they're doing. Talk, know, ask. Parents, the anti-drug. For more information, call 1-800-788-2800. Sponsored by the ONDCP and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
Mom, what's wrong?
My knees are killing me. I shouldn't have jogged this morning.
Today's my party. You gonna be okay?
I should be. The party's hours away.
And we have tons to do.
The moment of choice, Tylenol or Advil. Which works better to get you through the day? Truth is, Advil can give you longer-lasting relief, better relief than Tylenol for tough muscle aches and pain. And Advil is gentle on your stomach.
Mom, you look like you're having fun.
I really am.
For better relief, advance to Advil.
This message is brought to you from American Atlantic Financial Corporation. Doesn't it pique your interest to discover how profits could potentially be made in markets like sugar, coffee, gold, foreign currencies, grains, unleaded gasoline, heating oil? Call American Atlantic Financial Corporation and receive a free video called Power, Performance, and Possibilities at no cost or obligation by just dialing toll-free 1-888-247-8400. That's 1-888-247-8400. American Atlantic Financial Corporation specializes in identifying undervalued opportunities and brings them to qualified investors. Call American Atlantic Financial Corporation and receive our latest recommendation. For your free investor's kit and video, call Power, Performance, and Possibilities. Call toll-free 1-888-247-8400. The call is free. The video is free by just dialing 1-888-247-8400. Futures and options involve significant risk of loss and is not suitable for everyone.
You're strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engine.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
You can see the look on Nancy's face.
What's she doing?
I asked her if she wanted a boogie, and she just gave me this condescending sneer.
Is it the condescending, I don't boogie?
How would I keep up with her?
Right.
Boogieing.
Nancy can boogie. Yeah. Doug, I've never seen you dance.
Kind of looks like a frog in a blender.
I could dance with you till the cows come home. On second thought, I'd rather dance with the cows when you come home.
On the IE America Radio Network.
At Animal Talk, we think deep thoughts. We think about things that most people don't think about, such as, do dogfish chase catfish? Do jellyfish taste good with peanut butter? These are things that bother us. Why is it that Donald Duck doesn't wear any pants, but when he comes out of the shower, he wraps a towel around his waist?
Dude, you need a hobby.
Oh.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werby and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to IEAmericaRadio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Tom Hartman radio program. Two more quick points about the Patriot 2 Act. One is, after you've been convicted of jaywalking and labeled as a domestic terrorist, you can then have your citizenship stripped from you, and you can be expelled from the country. In fact, even before you have been convicted, if you are simply a suspect, if you are suspected of terrorist activity, end quote, this can occur. And finally, the USA Patriot Act 2 would eliminate the sunset provisions on Patriot Act 1. If we're going to have, in order for any healing to take place, psychologically, medically, or politically, we must first have hope. This is not yet law. We need to be working to prevent it from becoming law. Stan in Birmingham, Alabama. It's called 1-800-TALK-YES. Welcome to the Tom Hartman program, Stan. We've just got about a minute and a half here before the end of the show. Maybe Stan
yes,
has...
What this is about, the Patriot Act is really about, is government by the unchecked decree of multinational corporations to understand the danger. Simply look at China and Indonesia. Offshore multinational corporations are now the most powerful government in the world, but their controllers, the controllers of their affairs, the CFR, Trilateral Commission, WTO, and other notorious groups, stand for completely unchecked power. Now, when Bush came in office, I think the multinational corporations gave his controllers several priorities to pursue. By connecting the dots, I think it's clear the Bushwhackers were told to take whatever covert and overt action was needed to create a legal system in America similar to China or Indonesia so that the multinational corporations can operate in America the same way they operate overseas. And that's all that this Patriot Act and these many other covert actions in 9/11 is really about. They are all accomplices to create this new type of multinational corporate government
Great point, Stan. I appreciate your sharing that with us. Rupert Murdoch certainly is making a fortune with his Sky network in China. He's doing very well there. Thanks for the call. You've been listening to the Tom Hartman radio program, Talk Radio for the Rest of Us. Tune back in tomorrow, same time, same place.
Been listening to the Tom Hartman program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.